Welcome to Green Gaming, a podcast from MRG, an online gaming company with brands like Mr. Green and Redbet in its portfolio. This is the podcast where we discuss the transformation and innovations of the gaming industry. I'm your host, Andreas Utterström. The topic of this episode is how to be a sustainable actor on Malta. This paradise island has gone through a big change due to the fact that many companies in the gaming industry are based there. Mr. Green is among them, but also NetEnt, a big supplier of digitally distributed gaming systems. To discuss this, I have invited two guests. With me here in the studio is Anna Romboli, Chief Communications Officer at NetEnt. And from Malta, by the magic of Skype, we have Rickard Rinaldo, Communication Director at Mr. Green. Let's start with you, Rickard. So why should sustainability projects by online gaming companies like Mr. Green be taken seriously?
I mean, on the problem gambling side, understanding the risk level of the players and making sure that we help them in relevant ways, that's how we take responsibility towards the players. And we know that this is important for obvious reasons.
So Anna, how important is sustainability projects when you're recruiting your new employees?
I think it's becoming increasingly important for employees to work for a company that has values that correspond with yourself. So today versus like 5-10 years ago, people are really looking for companies that they can feel they share the same values with. And it could be like environmental social responsibility, but it could also be other things. So at NetEnt, for example, we worked a lot with inclusion and gender balance. And specifically being a tech company, gender balance is a tough challenge to attract more women to the tech industry. And that's something that we have been very much engaged in. And I know we have lots of people that have chosen NetEnt as an employer because they feel it's important, both female and male employees.
Is it the same for you, Rickard?
Absolutely. I think that sustainability is something that potentially in the past was a weaker positioning. But today it's become almost like a hygienic factor. We have been dealing with sustainability from day one. Green gaming has been a part of our core business model from day one because we see that it makes business sense. And today, making sure that everybody working with us, everybody playing with us, or even investors understand that this is something we take seriously and we want to be the leading brand within this field. Of course, it creates employee brand. We have a lot of employees starting saying that I looked at this brand and I heard about this brand and this is why I wanted to join this brand. And we want to make sure that people understand that we do. And that's been something that we've done for a long time.
So the fact that you're based on Malta, does that mean any specific challenges when it comes to sustainability projects?
Yes, it does. I think we've also been engaged, for example, in the ocean because it's so very close to people's hearts in Malta. But we've also actually started a network to face some of the more kind of basic challenges you have when you're an employee moving to Malta, especially, I would say. So there are lots of foreigners moving into Malta and people are relocating into Malta. And when you do that, you would experience quite high bureaucracy, for example. So just simple things like having a bank account or an ID. It's a tough challenge. And there are some of those topics that we have been engaged in together with other companies in the iGaming sector, but also with authorities to make it easier to actually live and work in Malta.
So when I told a friend of mine of this interview, his response was, well, this kind of sustainability projects, that's something the companies are interested in when the economy is on steroids. But as soon as if the economy tanks, like in 2008 style, this is the first thing they will throw away. So this is, in his opinion, luxury that you can afford sometimes. Rickard, how would you reply to that?
I don't agree with what he's saying. The responsible gaming part in terms of green gaming, we need to have that in order to secure sustainability in our business model. If players spend their money too fast and they go away, it's going to be very expensive for us to continue in the long run to just to just buy new players. So making sure that players are healthy and stay on a low risk level for as long time as possible, that's just business sense. When it comes to local activity, I can't speak for the industry, but on our end, we know that similar, we need to have that as part of our employee brand. We are committed to long-term sustainability in the local scene as well. That's why we have agreements with our partners that we work with that reach over several years. So I don't think that reflects the way that we view sustainability, at least.
If you see the sustainability work from this win-win perspective. So when you as a company engage in different types of projects and issues, if you really truly understand why it's good for your business, then it's something that actually also stays both in the slower periods and in the more booming periods, I would say.
So if you need inspiration for sustainability projects, is there any company that you admire or any person that you think is onto something, Anna?
I think we've seen a lot examples of that. We have a few old traditional Swedish companies like IKEA, I would say, and ABB and those companies. But if you look at the younger types of companies, one of the things particularly I've been inspired by is how Spotify actually now is exporting the Swedish parenthood and the ability to actually combine a career with having a family, the way we do it in Sweden, they are now exporting it to their other countries where they operate. And I think that's really inspiring. And they also got lots of positive feedback, especially I would say in the US, where it's been a true challenge to combine work life and family life.
Rickard?
We, for example, work right now with a company called Sky Mining, and they have a fantastic view on innovation in terms of the problem with carbon dioxide in our atmosphere. And they have found a way to offset the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere by actually putting it back in the ground. And we're working tightly with them in order to be part of that that setup.
You're both big employers at Malta, so you're contributing to driving up costs for apartment and whatever. And what does that mean for your responsibility, do you think, Anna?
Well, I think of course we have a big responsibility as employers in Malta, and also by being there for such long term, we've been part of actually building the gaming industry in Malta. And I think that's also why we now see clearly the consequences of all the people moving into Malta, want to work for the gaming industry and so on. So we do a lot of things to actually try to mitigate those effects. And we have dialogues together with authorities and with other companies. And for example, as you say, the costs for housing is becoming more and more of a problem in Malta, even though there are lots of new apartments being built every year. And that's something that we've been quite engaged in, actually, because it's good both for NetEnt, but also for people living in Malta, the Maltese people, they need to be able to live where they want to live and stay in the cities.
Completely right. I mean, the industry has grown so rapidly over the past years, and of course we are a part of that change. You can say that we're also a part of the positive change of the economic growth in the market here in Malta, and I think that iGaming industry today is about 12% of the GDP. But it's not sustainable the way that it's been dealt with so far. And that's why we have a tight dialogue with the local authorities, both in terms of housing costs, in infrastructure, in building of schools, in getting closer to the banking system as well, making sure that it's easy to set up accounts for expats or new arrivals, and so on. So we understand that we have an effect on the local scene. And I mean, of course, we want to be a part of making that a positive effect as well. Otherwise, it will not be sustainable for us as an industry as well.
So Anna, why is core values and culture important?
Firstly, I think it's really important if you want to attract the right people, because as an employee, you want to find the company to work for that share the same values as you do yourself. And from a management perspective, you want to foster a culture where people dare to take decisions and where you don't become an hierarchy, that because it's too slow. So in our industry, things are moving really, really fast. And if you want people to act fast and take the right decisions, you need to have a really good culture where people feel empowered to take decisions.
Rickard, how do you work with values and culture?
Mr. Green is a value-based company. It was based on a platform that looked at the industry in a different way. We wanted to offer a superior casino experience, but in an environment that was healthy and responsible. So these values are something that has shaped the entire brand and continue to shape the brands in our multi-brand portfolio today. And it's something that is one of the core aspects of the business model. And I believe that that's one of the reasons why we celebrated 10 years today. Starting a brand today without a core value that represents the wider audience, the players' perspective, and all the talent that we need to attract, I think it's going to be very, very hard today with the increased regulation and competitiveness that we see to be as profitable as we managed to be over the last 10 years.
So let's say we meet here again in 5 years and talk about sustainability projects in the gaming industry. Where do you think we are at that point, Anna?
I think that's a super tough question. As we talked about, there are lots of regulation going on at the moment in our industry, and I think that will affect all our businesses. So even more focus on responsible gaming, I would say. And it will be not only, like today we have lots of company doing really great things in terms of responsible gaming, but it will just be following the rules in each jurisdiction, I would say. My biggest hope is really that the information of all the good things that this industry is actually bringing is coming across much more, because today I think the image of our industry is very biased towards responsible gaming and problem gambling specifically, and I hope that it will be a larger focus on other areas where we really do lots of great things as well.
Rickard?
Well, in 5 years, I think that this industry has changed completely. I think that we will have a lot more regulation, and with regulation, we will have a completely different playing field in terms of marketing, in terms of smarter products, in terms of more relevant entertainment for our audiences. The one size fits all is something that is not sustainable. Gambling or playing for money, as you see today, will probably look a lot different in the future. People will always play for money, but it will be in an environment that is much safer than today overall, which hopefully will have helped break the stigma that we see on the industry today.
That's it for now. I'm your host Andreas Utterström. This podcast was edited by Alexander Sjöblom. In future episodes, we'll discuss marketing and changing the gaming industry. Thanks for listening.